session number 10046, reel number 3.
Mr. Roger, you're free.
Right. We were transported by the American Fifth Army to Palermo, and we went aboard the Betis. I think it was a Betis. And our job was to land at Vietri sul Mare in Italy, north of Salerno. And I must say, the landing was quite uneventful, really, going in. We were very lucky. Our job was to menace Salerno. Once we'd landed, our job was to move down on and menace Salerno. And our skipper, Captain Broom, decided that B section would be on one on the left flank of the road and A section would be on the right. And we moved down towards Salerno, keeping to the high ground, as Larry Taylor always told us to. And we got in a very good position, and A section were moving along the bottom on the other side of the road. But while we were observing Salerno itself, there was a multitude of tanks moving about, and we thought that these were our tanks from the main landing, but they had no pennant, so we decided it was German. Anyway, in the meantime, slowly coming up the road towards us, below us was this Jerry tank, and we dispatched this chappy of ours with the Piat, and went down and set it up, and the German in charge of the tank was stuck outside with his arms up on top of the tank, and where we opened fire, he fell in, the leg was flapped down, and then we tried to fire the Piat at it. In the meantime, the gunners in the tank thought that the fire had come from a house on the main road, and in this house was A section, which we didn't know anything about, and they fired the 88 and it went right through the wall in the house. Never touched anybody, and everybody sort of wondered what the devil was happening. And we were in the clear, and they were getting the stick for what we'd caused. Anyway, we knocked this tank out, and that was it. After that, we were drawn back into Vietri, and then we went with where the Marines were holding La Molina. They apparently had been having a very, very rough time, and they were counter-attacked repeatedly and suffered many casualties. The situation was precarious, and we were moved over to relieve them. And we moved up late in the afternoon, and the Marines were coming off the hill, badly wounded. Some of them were badly wounded, and one of my corporals, Corporal Sprague, Lance Corporal Sprague, said, this Marine went past us and said, "It's bloody murder up there." And I said to Roy Sprague, "Keep your bloody mouth shut," I said, "else we'll be going up on our own." And anyway, we moved up onto the top of the hill, at this Dragona Hill, and got into position and dug in. It was quite quiet during the afternoon by the period while we dug in, and everything seemed quiet. I was talking to our CSM, our TSM, Ken McAllister, and Lance Sergeant Black, who was my Lance Sergeant, and we were talking quietly, and they fired a few ranging shots, and we decided amongst ourselves, they said that we're going to get some stick tomorrow. And with that, we parted company and went back to our different little holes. Anyway, Colonel Jack came up in the night and came around to see if the men were being relieved to time and how they were, how every man was.
Colonel Jack, you mean Colonel Jack, Churchill?
Yeah. Came round the positions and had words with us. The only thing was that going round to check up that your men were awake was the fact that in some of the holes, some of the Marines were still there who were dead. And you were trying to shake a dead man to wake him up. Anyway, in the morning, early on in the morning, they started to stonk us. And for 3 solid hours, they shelled us and mortared us. As I say, for 3 solid hours, they mortared and shelled us, and then they moved forward in their attack. By this time, my section was pretty well decimated. The Jerrys were moving round us on either side, and in the vineyards, there's little
terraces,
and you could see the helmets moving, and you couldn't hit them. We were opening fire and firing at them quite a bit. My skipper, Captain Broom, was in the same slit trench as myself. What had happened, they'd mortared us so badly, I dropped back from my position because the chaps in front of me were killed or wounded. I brought 2 chaps out, and the Germans were moving around on the terraces, and then Captain Broom, who had already got a rifle, and he was trying to fire at the Germans as they moved round, and I said to him, I said, it's no use, sir, you can't hit them from where you are. Just keep yourself down for a while till you get an opportunity to have another go at them. And he carried on firing, and then all of a sudden he got a blast from a machine gun, and his right arm was practically cut off. I tried to put a tourniquet on where I could down the bottom here. And I shouted to Larry Taylor, my section officer, that Captain Broom was hit. And he said, we'll have to bring our mortars to bear on our own positions. He said, we'll have to get out. And I had to drag Captain Broom so far back and put him, we went in another hole. And they brought fire to bear of our own 3-inch mortars onto our own positions. But we were overrun, so we withdrew a bit. Then we counterattacked again, and eventually we took the hill. Took Dragona Hill and held it. were there for another 12 hours or so, and then we were withdrawn, we were relieved and withdrawn to back to the nut groves further back until I know.
I think you were awarded the DCM for this.
Yes, I was awarded the DCM at...
Could you read the citation that you got for the DCM, please?
Do you wish me
Could you read it out?
On the 13th of September, 43, on Dragona Hill, Sergeant Rudge, one of the six survivors of the forward section of 22, showed outstanding bravery whilst in close contact with the enemy. After being mortared in the shell for 2.5 hours, and during a period of close, confused fighting, he twice rallied the men near him, repeatedly drove off the enemy. He also organised a party to go forward under enemy machine gun fire to retrieve a Vickers gun, whose crew were all casualties. The gun was used afterwards and inflicted casualties. Sergeant Rudge carried back on 3 separate occasions. Badly wounded men, always returning immediately to the firing line, and his behaviour under most severe concentration of mortar and MG fire for a period of 3 hours was an inspiration to the section.
So what happened to Broome in the end?
Captain Broome was killed. He died in the slip trench.
What happened to you after you were withdrawn?
We were withdrawn, and then we went back to the infantry relieved us, and we regrouped later on down towards Salerno. Cut it off a minute, that. After we regrouped in Salerno, we had a short rest and we were moved out of town under mortar fire and motor transport. The convoy eventually dropped us in a leafy valley where the CO gave orders for a beat in 6 columns. There was only 91 of us left out of the commando, and he split us up into our 6 troops in the valley, and we had to, one troop was at the top of one side, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 at the other side, and we had to move up this valley to a village called Pigoletta. And we were to shout and make as much noise as possible as we moved up the valley to make sure that the Jerry thought there was a huge army or a huge unit attacking them. This was very effective because the CO himself captured umpteen Germans by shouting "An der Hock," and all he had in his hand was his sword. This is Colonel Jack Churchill, and we cleared out Pigoletta village, and there we stayed in for some time then.
Could you say at this point what you thought of Churchill, Jack Churchill?
Oh, I thought he was great. I thought he was a great CO, actually. He was exceptional. He was turned out like a new pin whenever you saw him. And I think he was an inspiration to everybody in the commando. Definitely. And I see him every year now. Turn it off. Whilst in Pigoletta village, one and two troops made an attack on what we call White Cross Hill. And here, Morney, the Duke of Wellington, was killed, and his Sergeant Major were casualties in two troops. Many of his men were wiped out. Later on, it was attacked again, and we took White Cross Hill. And during the night, you could hear the strains of Jack Churchill, Mad Jack's pipes playing Road to the Isles. After this, we were withdrawn, and we went back again to Sicily and Catania, and the brigade was reformed.
What happened to you personally after you returned to Catania?
Well, the brigade was reformed, and rumours were rife. Some people, Number 3 Commando went back to Blighty, while we were destined for Taranto. And then we went by train to Molfetta. From Molfetta, the commandos pretty well decimated, as you know, after Salerno, and those recruiting boards went out up and down Italy to get people to volunteer to join the commando. During this time, I was sergeant in charge of training for the new intakes to the commando, and I trained 4 officers and 60 other ranks, and one of the officers was eventually to come to my troop as my section commander, Paddy German, an Irishman who was a solicitor. He proved a great fellow, a great comrade, and after a period of time in Molfetta, where we trained some American Rangers on the 36 grenade and the 2-inch mortar, we eventually sailed to Viz in the Dalmatian Islands.
This is Yugoslavia, of course.
This is Yugoslavia, yes. Here, we did various recce parties, and one thing or another, and we had wireless stations on some of the German-held islands, and almost continuously through the first few weeks these recces went on, and the rest of the commando came through into the islands.
When would this have been approximately?
No, it was 44. This was 44.
Did you have much contact with Tito's partisans here?
Oh, yes, you were alongside them.
What was your opinion of them?
Well, to be quite frank, some of the ladies frightened you. They used to roam around with a machine gun on the shoulder or ammunition hung around the neck, and they were very tough.
What do you mean, tougher than the men?
Well, I would say as tough as some of the men, put it that way.
What impression did you get of them as a fighting force?
Controlled, they were a good fighting force. Provided they were controlled, they were a good fighting force. They were very, very good.
And were they controlled?
Oh, yes, they were, yes.
Did their so-called communism seem to have be much in evidence?
No. Not, I wouldn't say not, because as far as we were concerned, we couldn't speak the language. I mean, we got as far as saying Dravo Drugi when we met them, and they'd say Dravo Drugi, and we're just comrades in this way. They were well kitted out by the British forces. They were well fitted out with battle dress and everything, you know. Bear in mind, a lot of the stuff, the machine gun and stuff they used, was stuff that they'd captured. But, they were quite a good force, really. And they were really thought a lot of Tito.
What did they used to say about him?
Oh. Well, they thought Tito was a great fellow. Originally, there's quite a bit of trouble between Tito and... what was his name?
Mikhailovic.
Because originally, we supported Mikhailovic. The British people supported Mikhailovic, or the British government, shall I say. And then things changed around completely and they swung the support to Tito. And this, I think this was the main reason why we went to Vis, because Vis was the only island in the Dalmatians that was unoccupied by Jerry. And from there we did various raids on different islands.
How many raids would you have taken part in approximately?
I took part in 3 actually.
Where would there be 2?
Salta. I went to Salta. Milje. And I went to Brac.
What was the result of those raids?
Well, Salta was a good combined operation. It was very good. And we had good coordination with the Navy and the Air Force. And it was a real good operation, you know. The entire garrison was captured, killed or captured on Salta. And the other one, Milje, it was predicted bigger than Salta for the success with which the landing was effected. For the damage it was inflicted on the sizable garrison, for the enormous amount of sweat and effort extended, it was a perfectly good raid. Yet it was quite nice to be back in peace, you know. Then I ended up on a little island off Viz called Rabnik with Lieutenant German and myself. And on here we had 3 6-pounder anti-tank guns, 3 Vickers and 3.5 Brownings, which were manned by the SAS. And this was our island and we had to defend it at all costs. It covered Camisa, entrance to Camisa Harbour a bit. And we had to dynamite positions into the rock to fit the guns in, you know. and food wasn't bad, but it was a lot of it was hard tack. But I was well in with Mark, the fisherman, who used to bring his boat across to take us from the island to the mainland to Vis. And I arranged with him and his daughter, and I used to save the flour we got, and she used to make us bread, small loaves for each man twice a week. And I used to go out in a small boat round the island of Ravnik itself and drop charges over the side, and I used to get enough fish so that each man had a fish once or twice a week. And during this time, the commando was doing patrols on the gunboats, and they'd stopped these schooners carrying supplies to the islands, and they captured one with the load of beautiful Danish butter on in small tubs, and each section was issued with a tub, and we had a tub of this butter on Ravnik, and we used to have this fish, fresh bread and butter, and it was marvellous. You couldn't complain about it at all. It was better than living in a hotel, although you lived just outside under the cover of camouflage sheets and netting. That's all we had. But eventually our time on Vis came to an end.
Can you tell me what you remember about the capture of Jack Churchill?
The capture of Jack Churchill wasn't one of our days. The Marines were on this raid. Jack was acting brigadier at the time. And whatever happened was he'd led the attack, and either I think he'd got too far in front and what have you, and they took a troop of us across to boost up this brack job, but it was to a no avail, and we withdrew because the Colonel of the Marines was killed there. Jan Manners was killed there. Was it there, or was it? I'm getting mixed up now. Let me see. Manners. Colonel Manners was killed there, yes. I knew it was one officer who was killed there. There was a Marine officer killed at Salerno too. Yes. I came back to Vis, and Tito was on Vis, and the commando was inspected by Tito. This was on June the 23rd, and he inspected two commando.
What did he look like?
Well, a little man in an oversized uniform, really, he did.
You mean he wasn't very impressive?
Oh, yes, he was impressive in his face, but his uniform looked a little bit big for him. And we gave the orders from Mark.